course, number one, look, I'm looking for Jesus Christ. But look at what's going on in Israel, right, and the Catholic Church. I think, you know why? Because we know they're playing, they're in the Bible there, you know. So I like to see, what's the Catholic Church doing? And what's Israel doing? And seeing how, you know, kind of drawing closer to the Word. Well, this is the paper I get. My mom was Catholic before she got saved, and the paper had come to my house for 20 years, you know. So, Lord's Pilgrimage with Father Wayne Watts resume. This is big news, okay? And the point being is people are trying to seek some sort of spiritual. They know there's a little void in their heart, you know. And these folks are religious, but man, they off. This Father Wayne is now resuming his pilgrimage to Lourdes because of COVID. And he says here that he eagerly waits the opportunity to serve and pray for one of the holiest places on earth. You know what it is? It's Lourdes, France. Now, why would you think that's holy place? Well, you know, in 1995, Father Wayne began leading youth and adults. Got quite a big picture of some people here, a big crowd. He takes people sometimes twice a year to where the Saint Bernadette saw 18 visions of the Blessed Virgin Mary in 1958. That's going on in France here, you know. People of all races and religions are flocking. And many sick and disabled people also come to the Lord's for a miraculous cure or touching of drinking the spring of water, which they call her now a saint. Saint Bernadette discovered on her 11th appearance of Our Lady. They call her, and they capitalize O and L, like deity. It says here that it almost sounds biblical. No article mentioned of Jesus or Scripture, nowhere even close. Allowing the Holy Spirit to guide, protect, and direct us will lead us to joy in this world and eternal happiness in the next. It almost sounds, but what leading, you know, what's your authority? You know, it's always important when you understand that kind of stuff. He says here, I'm looking forward to getting back to Lourdes and showing the youth of Chicago area how the universal church, that's what Catholic means, you know, Catholic means universal church, comes together to pray and serve and celebrate its holy place that is all-encompassing for Catholicism. See, there it is. I mean, remember, their authority is not the Word of God, but it's Catholicism. He calls the people pilgrims. And just to give you an example of what they're doing here, when he brings Father Wayne's visits to the places where, first thing he does, he visits where Saint Bernadette lived and went to school. This is now what he does the whole week here. Very interesting. She was a poor, sickly 14-year-old girl at the time, the apparitions, and she endured a terrible ordeal. Here's what it is. Getting to believe that her local priests actually were seeing apprehensions. Our Lady directed her to build that church. That's what Mary told me, to build a church here. Saint Wayne says here, Wayne's group gets to work after that tour of where she lived. Travelers who are sick or disabled are called maladies. And what that means is a French word for falling ill. And so what they do is volunteers push the sick around the sanctuary and the basilica of they call the Immaculate Conception Church. And that's what they do for volunteering their effects. Beside that, here's what this pilgrimage does. So you're pushing around sick people, like almost like a lot of charismatics do. See how close that charismatic group and the Catholic Church kind of, they're trying to merge them together, whatever. Besides that, he encourages now daily mass. We know that's a blasphemous thing to do. And then also go to confession. So confession, you know, confessing your sins to a priest, that's just confessing your faults one another, not your sins. And then, remember I covered before, very important to celebrate this Eucharist adoration. Remember I'm covering that? That's a new push. They call EU. And it finalized right here in Indiana here, I think, a few years. It's that little, you know, this is the body of Christ, Eucharist adoration. And then last thing is to sing choirs and beautiful music. Oh, but what are they singing about? the rosary procession in the sanctuary. Ain't that something? You know, psalms and hymns and spiritual sounds, what a blessing is for saints, but they're singing about what? The Mary and the rosary. I mean, it's like, you know, music is the greatest thing known that God has created, but, you know, it can be a good thing or a bad thing. You know, what does Bob Jones Sr. say? Music could be a good thing. Everything that's good is or bad is a good thing turned wrong. You know, all the rap and things you're singing about. It's about, you know, sex and getting drunk and all this stuff. Because music is designed for us, but it can be misguided, like over here. So they're singing about that. And the fourth thing, you ready for this one here? Experience the bats in this structure adjacent to the basilica, where pilgrims are offered the opportunity to be privately dipped in the holy water that has produced hundreds of miracles for the past 164 years. So let me tell you a little fact. I don't know if you know a guy, I'm trying to think of his name is, I can't think of his name, we know him, but his mother went to Lourdes, France, and when she says, and he testified to it, that she brought her rosary, and when she was dipped, the rosary turned gold. Now, if that, I believe it happened a bit, that was satanic, you know. That was definitely satanic. I mean, oh yeah, and he says he show it to her, not if it was gold color or solid gold. The solid gold, I'm bringing a bunch of things over there, and then turn gold, come back here and sell them, whatever, but you know what I'm saying? But it was, if it is, that's satanic. I mean, the devil's got these tricks up a thing. After spending a week in, here, then what do you do? I'm gonna think, I'm so spiritual, I'm gonna take a secondary pilgrimage journey, and of course, where they're going? They're going to a place where they had another apparition journey, and it's Fatima, Portugal. And again, the same thing there, ladies, sewing people. And for doing all this and the devotion here, a saint, this guy named Father Wayne, is now known as an honorary chaplain at the shrine of Our Lady of Lourdes. What a thing. Not about glorifying the Lord, but you see, all this being pushed. I mean, people 148 years later are still searching. You think, oh, they're old days. You know, the old days, they're uneducated and all that. Nothing's really changed. Nothing is really changed. The Bible is very up to date. You think, oh, they're old, no things. Same thing going on. So you keep an eye on this stuff here. That's, and I don't have a picture, but there's a big, giant group. And look, a lot of older people and younger people. You know, remember, the old people are hooked and get the young people hooked too. You know, so a lot of that going on today. Keep an eye on that stuff because that's going to all be tied in with this end times and the Antichrist. And when the Antichrist shows up, they're going to need a false prophet. Oh, Rome people, here we are. They go suck right in there, you know. They're known to suck in whatever's leading. You know, oh, yeah, Germany and World War II, we want to get in that deal because they want to be right there next to the leadership, you know, power. So keep an eye on that stuff. Okay, to our Bible study. Get down to the scripture here. Okay, we're looking at in scripture these, I've got 39 or 40 something, 42, whatever it is, things that happen to the born again believer when they get saved. And the relationship that we have through with the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and of course the relationship with ourselves. So this is important because why? This clearly shows you there's a difference between what happens after Calvary and the saint of God than what happened, obviously, before Calvary. And if you say anything's happened to someone before during the law, no. So there's a clear difference. I remember being saved in my 20s, and I read the Bible through this one time. And there's clearly, there's a difference between what's going on. That's clear. I didn't know all I know now, but you can clearly see. The question is, people, even in the Christianity, are led away. And what's happening is their authority being the Word of God as a celebrity Christian or a book. You know, so it's hard to get, and you're saved, it's hard to say, well, you know, Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. And a lot of people that lie to you, they can be believers. They can be nice people, trust them, great people. But, you know, that's why sometimes it's difficult. But so think that in mind. Could these things happen to someone, you know, under the law in the Old Testament, or maybe in the tribulation or millennial. No, no, this is what happens to the believer. And what it does is it's a great motivation for the saint. Amen? The last study was kind of negative. Negative, negative, negative. And it's kind of a positive one. We like the positive ones, right? You know, negative ones are okay. You know, I think I heard yesterday, Mike Caesar, you know who Mike Caesar is? He's a converted guy from New York. He was a medical doctor. He was just on some talk show or something or listening up. And they go, who is the greatest person in Christianity today? And you know what they said? Joel Osteen. And you know why? Because he reaches, they say, 200,000 people. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's quite an audience. But you know what, though? They like hearing all that good stuff. You know, I mean, hey, you got a 200,000 audience, man. Hey, that's a responsibility. You're tickling their ears. You know, and he's like, you know, and it's, you know, it's the end justifying the mean. You're not getting things, you know, good doctrine. You know, the Bible says reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. That's negative. Reproving, right? So it's a negative. Reproof, rebuke. No one wants to be reproved and rebuke. Exhorting with long suffering. You know, do it gracefully. And with what? Doctrine. So that's not what you're getting there. You're getting tickling ears. Okay. So we left off here on this is what the relationship, last one on the relationship that I have, I'm sure there's more, with a father. And it says, we are sanctified. 1 Corinthians 6:11. Let me go through this. I want to point some things out of here. 1 Corinthians 6:11, it says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, so here we are, you know, we're sanctified. That means we're set apart. And the best thing in God's eyes. So we're set apart. Obviously, there's our sanctification process, but we're set apart in our eyes. And I want to look at the context of here because as I've grown in the Lord a little bit, I was always told some things. And I go, well, that sounds right. But after you look in the Word, you rightly divide it, you say, oh, boy, look how they take something kind of without looking at the context and building a doctrine on it. And if you look at this verse here, verses number 6, verse 11, look at the verse above it. It says here in 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor abusers themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor coveters, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but obviously the verse we are sanctified. Now, that verse there, I think, has a double application. We are justified, that's a saved person, but you went though that inheritance, there's a you inherit salvation, but there's also an inheritance for doing what's right. And I was taught, and I came from the fundamental Baptist movement, and there are some good people there, but they're off. But they use this verse here, verses like this here, and they also use look at Galatians 5:19. Go to Galatians 5:19, and it says here, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of which I told you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. See, if you're doing those things, you can't be saved. You ever hear that? And you'll hear that. Well, hang on here. These are believers. These are works of the flesh. You see, they're fleshly works. I mean, we probably done those being lost. That means you're lost. See, so they're trying to put you back under the law here. You know, hey, if you're doing this, you're probably not saved. Salvation is one whole issue, totally dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Our works is different. And And you as a believer can do some of these things, sure. And he mentions them three times. He mentions him again here in Ephesians 5:5. So let's go back, and he's mentioning these things, and go forward, actually, Ephesians 5:5. He mentions them time past. It says, for this we know, that no whoremonger, nor a clean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God and Christ. So obviously, some of the people try to put you back under the law to whip you. But this has to do with an inheritance. I mean, you're saved, but no doubt about it, God will give you rewards, obviously, for being sanctified. I mean, he sanctified you, but you know what, though? We're to avoid some of that stuff, obviously. And so I want to make that point, because a lot of times you'll hear that often and try to whip you, you know. If you're not doing this, you don't live like me, you can't be saved, and use the verses there. So you make sure you understand that, you know, the inheritance that you get is different than being saved. And I'm being an estate planner for all these years. I understand, because we have people that have got children. They're there by blood, but they're not getting the same resources, because they're my child. I name them. You have to. But they're going to get this because why? They're away, or they're living, you know, on the beach. You know, not at the beach, on the beach. What I'm saying, you know, and if they gave them resources, they would just destroy whatever. So, hey, you're getting different inheritance, some of the benefits down the come. That's a motivator for us. Hey, you know what, though? I want to, you know, do something for the Lord, because I love him. We did for me. And you know what? It could be kind of nice millennial, you know? I want to get a home run and a pizza oven in my little mansion. Like, a guy might visit me, hit a button, then comes a home run and a pizza, I'm a fellowship, you know? So, I don't know if that's true, but I just want to throw it in there. But very important, we're sanctified here, okay? It says here in Acts 26:18, to open the eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by the faith that is in me. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. So there it is. There's a sanctification. God sanctifies the believer. I like that. Now, let's transition here into relationship with the Son. Those are all things that relationship back to the Father. And there's a fine line between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. They're tied so closely together, but you can see their individuality without a doubt. But they are tied close together. We are accepted in the Beloved. We are accepted in the Beloved. Ephesians 1:6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the Beloved. Now, what does that mean? That means, literally, it means closer or dear to the heart, accepted in the Beloved. This word appears 104 times in the entire Word of God. And the two biggest places it appears in is, one is in the Song of Solomon. It appears 28 times there. And what is the Song of Solomon? It's a picture of the Lord and his bride, right? You got to get that. I mean, there's types in there, you know. Obviously, he talks about all relationships he had, but the Beloved. He calls it the Beloved, my Beloved, my Beloved. That's a picture of the Lord, the Son, and the Bride of Christ. Paul used this word 28 times in just his epistles. So over half a time, it's Paul and it's Song of Solomon speaking of the Bride of Christ, the distinctness that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you look at how he prefaces the word in Paul, he calls it my beloved of God. And he names people, Ampelus, Urban, Sanctusy, the people at Corinth, Timothy, his brethren, Onesimus, Luke, Philemon, on brethren. So obviously he was dear to the heart. You could have a more of a close relationship with people that are saved, born again, than your own family. You know that. You understand that? You know, because you're not, you know, they're your brother or sister around that by blood, but the beloved you have in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's something. You go around the world somewhere, and you meet a brother like faith, and you got like instant karma. Sorry, that word. I mean, but you know, fellowship. I'm sorry about that word, but you know what I'm saying, right? You know, that's where you're accepting the beloved. You know, that's an amazing truth to have. Very amazing thing to have. It says here, I put down here, is you will never realize that Jesus is all you need until he's all that you have. You get that? That's a fellowship you have with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's a real tender word, you know, accepted in the beloved. It's kind of mushy, but it's so true. You know, because everyone needs some love. I mean, real love, you know, not the Hollywood love. You know, we're all looking for some kind of love, aren't we? And you went to all found right here in the Lord Jesus Christ. Right here, you know? Right here. I mean, you know, I think Danny Castle, on his preaching, he has a sign. Jesus Christ is your answer to everything. And you know what? That's true. I think about that, right? I mean, it's pretty amazing. So we're accepted in the beloved. Amen. We are baptized into Christ's body. That's a little more difficult one. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one spirit, we are all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink of one spirit. Now, obviously, that's not a physical drinking of water. It's spiritual baptism, but we're baptized into the body of Christ. Hey, that's you have to take it by faith. How can you and I and someone else all love the same person being Christ? That's a truth. It was foreign to anyone in the Old Testament. There's some hints of it there, like in Solomon, but there's things revealed through Paul that put this together and go, man, what a great place to be. You know, here we are gathering, before Daniel's last week takes place here, and literally all hell breaks upon the world and Israel and so forth, whatever, you know, dealing back to Israel. But what an amazing truth that is. Romans 6:4. Wherefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as, those are very good words, like an as. I think Pastor Hoffman has a great study in the back on how to study the Bible for yourself, covering the like as. Real important to get that stuff here. Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Even so, see, like as, we should walk in newness of life. So there it is. You know, think about it. When the Lord Jesus Christ was buried, went down into hell, dumped our sins down there, preached condemnation, with the keys on the cross there, went into the paradise. It must have been a big, hey, look who's here. I can imagine what happened, you know. And then, got them all rolling. Some of them came up out of there and went into New Jerusalem. You know what, though? Think of we went with them. I mean, God took our sins and dumped them out in there. Hey, I'm glad I don't have to pay for my sins down in hell. Isn't that great? I think Calvin Coolidge was either 30th president of the United States. He used to, carry his Bible around, and he's the only president of time that not wanted to have re-election. He knew how corrupt it was back then during the Depression there, you know. And they said to him, President Coolidge, a reporter, you're carrying that Bible around all the time, kind of looking at that, And they go, we want to know a question. Yes, what is it, sir? What does it say about hell and being a politician? When he said a great answer, he goes, it says you don't have to go there. I like that answer. That's a good answer, right? Amen? That's a great answer. Hey, you don't have to go there. You're going there. Hey, you don't have to go there. Turn around. That's a good answer, right? I use it all the time. Hey, guess what? You don't have to go there. You don't have to go there either. I'm going to hell. I say, hey, sir, every time I heard the party in hell's been canceled due to fire. So I throw something out. I'm never, But anyways, hey. But we're baptized with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's great. That's into the body. We're in one body. It says here in Galatians 3:27, for as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So, if we understand that, see, a lot of times you get saved and you don't understand what actually happens to you. That's why it's a good study to go to. All things that happen simultaneously. It's really unbelievable. I mean, when you get saved, you recognize all these things? No. All you recognize is that, hey, my sin's forgiven, and maybe you have to go to hell. But then as a newborn babes, when he's a newborn baby, they're nothing. But as they grow and they feed on mother's milk and the baby food and meat, they get physically well, just like a believer feeds on the word of God, they should grow spiritually, right? You go, we have today a bunch of spiritual babies walking around, you know. And they have diapers on, and they're filling their diapers. They even change it. They say that, but that's what we have today spiritually going on today, you know. And so we're trying to win the loss one side and trying to get believers onto track on the other side. That's kind of what we're doing today, and we're getting smaller and smaller and a smaller, you know, group that happened today, you know. So it's kind of a thing, you know. So Christians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Number three, in relationship to the Son, we're buried with Christ. Not only baptized, we're buried with him. It's kind of somewhat, but still different. Colossians 2, 10 to 12, it says, and ye are complete in him. I like that. We're completed. Which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins by the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, whereby he also risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. That's an amazing thing. The operation of God and circumcision. Hey man, seems like that baptism, God takes us and circumcises our body away from our soul. Now, hey, you know what though? And that's why your body still sins, but God's like that soul that's been circumcised exactly. That's the operation of God. That didn't happen in the Old Testament, folks. That we have that benefit. That's a real, hey, I like that. That's why you have that eternal security. Oh no, you're back in. God's knife is perfect. Shh, just cut that little body out of there, and the soul goes like that there, and there you are. He sees your soul right there, seated ready in the glory. Amen. That's the motivation where we can live by faith, by believing what God says here, right? We're believing it, what God says, and that's our motivation. Not like, you better do this year, you're not safe, type of baloney going on there, you know, Christianity. You better do this year, you're not wearing a suit and tie, what's wrong with you? You're not right with God. Going on, a lot going on. And they're putting guilt on people like that there, you know. Hey, it's you and the Lord and the Word of God, and he deals with you, right? A humble mind. So there's that circumcision of God right there. And also in Romans 6:4, wherefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as, remember that, Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. So all that things that we see about, it should affect our walk, right? Hey, you know why we try to be a witness or live right? Because right there, what he did for us. That's the motivation, you know? I mean, beside nice inheritance they have and other things we have, but we should walk in newness of life. Because what the Lord did for us while we were yet sinners. That's a tremendous truth God gives you. That's why you see it right here in Scripture, like, hey, did you see that? I don't know. Hey, right here. It's right here in black and white and red, if you got a red letter edition. Amen. Some red things there too, you know, amen. So that's why this is part of the gospel. Christ died for our sins, buried. Does it have buried? Well, but what happened when he buried? A lot of stuff. That's why it's a part of the New Testament gospel. In 1 Corinthians 15, Christ died for our sins, buried, rose again, third day, according to Scripture. You know, so the Scripture and the death, burial, were sinners, negative, and rose again. What happened when he buried? A lot of good stuff. It's kind of put here in Scripture, of to put it aside and go, I like that. But boy, the Lord did more than I thought. You never get this. You know, when you first get saved, but as you get into the Word, you see that. It's a real blessing. Amen. Another one I call D, a part of relationship with the Son. That's a little different. We are loved by the Son who we were given by the Father. Now, where I get that from? I got that from John 17, the real Lord's Prayer, you know. You know, it's not Matthew, our Father in heaven, blah, 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 you know, all mumbo jumbo. The real Lord's Prayer is, you know, read... we want some real good motivation. Read John 14, 15, 16, 17. Great. I mean, that's encouraging stuff. Anyway, 17 here, the Lord's Prayer says, I pray, this is Jesus Christ speaking, I pray for them. Who's them? It's the church context, I believe. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. So, hey, God gave his church, and God loved us. I could say that, his church. He loves his children, not the present world. You tell when I really talk to believers, you hear in some tracts, God loves you and has a plan for you. I tell people, that's totally not true. God has no plan for you. God doesn't love you if you're lost. They hate hearing that. I want to fry a Christian. I work with a bunch of old lawyers at the office, and one's a Calvinist. Anyway, they like listen to me because they're thinking, I'm always giving them stuff. And I go, think about that. And I guess they heard that. I go, if God loves all, show me a verse in the Bible that says God, present tense, loves sinners. Well, about John 3:16, I go, John, so love, past tense. He showed his love on Calvary. I go, if what you say is true, and they never find me a verse, I go, I never thought of it. They go, Tim, you're right. I never really thought about that. Because they hear the superior theology today, right? And they're repeating it. I go, if God loves unsaved sinners, present tense right now, if that's true, can't find scripture, then what happens? Then those people go to hell if they're lost. So God's taking people he loves, throws them into hell. You got to assist that God. See that there, Now, they're saved, but see, their view of the Lord and God is what they get from Scripture. If you're not getting good teaching, right, your God is different. See what I'm saying? It's important you get the right perspective of God. A lot of people are saved people don't have the right perspective of God, and then what affects your walk, right? So it's important you get that thing, get that right there, what does God have a plan for you? I might have his will, but show me. And I question, I ask them nicely, I'm looking for it. Let me find it. Maybe I haven't found it yet, So, it gets people thinking, about some of these things here, So, we're love, the church, the believer. We're grafting. I kind of like that, All right, I'll do one more here before our time's up here. We are indwelt by Christ. John 14, and I go to verse 14, 15, 16, 17. Jesus answered unto them, if a man love me, I think Pastor Hoffman covers all the time, but he will keep my words. Remember, he gave that story of him flying to, I think he was a different country, visiting his daughter, Australia, and he sat with the monk or whatever it was, or whatever the guy was, and he kept, why do you believe that? He quoted this verse here. That's a good one. He'll keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him and make an abode with him. So abiding and dwelling here, Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ, right here, the word of God, dwell in you. See, Jesus Christ and the word of God are so close together. You get that, folks? They're so, they're so close together. Obviously, Jesus Christ is sitting next to the Father, but the word of God is so close. That's how you know the Lord Jesus Christ. You're so close. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So there's that how you abide in the word of God, singing, not singing about the rosary and Lord's or rock music, they're going on in the churches here today, spiritual hymns for the Lord. Romans 8:9-11, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, get it, dwell in you. So there's the Christ in you, the Spirit in you, the Word. See how they're kind of all tied together? You get that? Get that? They're all so close together. God gave us the Comforter once we get saved, and we have the Word of God. I mean, it's so close together, but that they're individual. Amazing thing here. Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man had not the Spirit of Christ, obviously he is none of us. So obviously, if you have the Spirit of God in you, you're talking about believers here. Now, if so, that the Spirit of God dwelt in you, now if any man have the Spirit of God, not his. And if Christ be in you, now Christ in you, the Word's in you, Spirit's in you, the body is dead because of sin. Now, it should be, we're circumcised, but the Spirit of God leading us to truth and the God, that should give us sanctified, holiness, separated. See out there, it's part of that process there. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, it's how it's all tied together, that death on the cross right there. What happens? We get the Spirit dwelling in us because of that there. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So your body, which we're going to damn for judgment seat of Christ, to give sins done in the body. Get that right? Right, 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 right. And so what God says, hey, I gave you all the tools. Here's the word of God. You have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. You know what, though? Now, hey, it should affect your body. Obviously, our mind, our talk affects where I go. From the buns of the heart, the mouth, speak it, get all that, you know? That affects the walk. And that's something between you and the Lord as you read the word of God. Amen. Last verse before I live up here, it says Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love. And who's the King of love? The Lord Jesus Christ, for what he did on Calvary's cross. That's why that's such a major event. It's hard to explain. While we were sinners, Christ loved us, died for us. It's something you should bring, not a tear to your eye, a tear to your heart. That's why the cross, you know, and thinking where you came from, what a great foundation for motive. And then once you realize all things that have happened, I'm just getting started. I got only about a third right here done right now as we get more. Wow, it's unbelievable. I never realized that. Wow, unbelievable. So God gave you all those things and knowledge so we can serve him. It's a voluntary thing. You can't focus someone to do something for the Lord. The Lord's got to prompt them. Otherwise, they're doing it in the flesh. Get that, folks? Okay. Questions, anything we covered today? Anything, scriptures or anything at all? Okay, we're going to have a word of prayer then. Father in heaven, thank you for the tremendous benefits that the born-again child of God has being saved. They're filled in the scriptures, Father. Just filled. And I thank you for them. In fact, getting them can be a little dangerous in a way because now we know these things. What do we do with them? Well, that's between us individual, the liberty we have, the way we direct it, Father. I just pray you can maybe move in people's hearts and minds and let them see the greatness of you, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what you've done for us. I pray now for Brother Hoffman, Pastor Hoffman, as he comes and ministers, may we be able to have our hearts ready and open to hear from you, Father, and may you move amongst this congregation here, Father, and we'll give you the praise and the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.